You remember from a couple of weeks ago, we began looking at a passage here in 1 Timothy in chapter 4. We looked at verse 12, and we had read down through verse 16 that evening, and those things that we didn't get to that night, we're going to get to tonight. Do I sound a little loud tonight? A little loud? I hear myself echoing back off the back wall. All right, we can get maybe a little bit of volume taken down. I feel like I'm really loud and I'm whispering here. All right, if we can take our Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 12 so that we recall what we looked at last time. And then we'll pick up with our Bible study here in verse 13. Verse 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to look into your word tonight. Lord, as we continue this study on this passage here in 1 Timothy, Lord, help us to realize our responsibility to your word. Lord, not only to be hearers of it, to be doers also. Father, as we hear your word, help us to take it to heart. Father, that as I preach, you would be with me. Help me to say only what you would have me to, that I wouldn't say anything more. But Lord, that I wouldn't say anything less. Father, direct through this service, in Jesus' name, amen. If you remember, as we went down through verse 12, we saw various areas that we are to be an example in. And though it says at the beginning of this passage, "Let no man despise thy youth," the things to follow are not just for young people, or those that would consider themselves young, like Cheryl. we've already seen that tonight. Doesn't matter. We are all young as we feel. All right? But when it says here, "Let no man despise thy youth," he's talking to Timothy because he was a young pastor. I am a young pastor going in through a ministry that God has brought me into. And I take this passage very seriously as I read it. Because I feel that as Paul was writing this to Timothy, I'm in the very same boat here. I'm in the very same boat as a young pastor. I'm not to let anyone despise my youth or to look down on it. Just because I am young in the ministry doesn't mean that I cannot be an example. Young people, teenagers, you can be an example as well. We looked at how even the children, in their enthusiasm and excitement and their simple faith in salvation, can be an example to us as well. Their enthusiasm in coming to things at the church, being overjoyed to be here on a Wednesday night. Those things are examples to us. But just because you may not put yourself in the category of youth doesn't mean that this passage is something that you should shut down on. Doesn't mean that it's something that you can just turn off and maybe catch a power snooze here as I preach. This is something that we all need to take to heart. We need to be aware of the example that we have to others. Whether you feel your example is great or small, our words carry a lot of weight. And we looked at that 2 weeks ago, so I don't want to get too far into it. I just want to briefly recap a little bit, because that's a springboard for which the remainder of this sermon is founded upon. As we looked down through, we need to be an example in word, in conversation, the way we act, the way we react. Remember how we saw that even in social media and various forms of our media today, we can be seen on the other side of the world in an instant. It's amazing. 100 years ago, people couldn't even imagine that with taking months to send a letter across to the other side of the world. Now it's instantly. As soon as you hit send on your phone, as soon as you hit send on a keyboard or any device you may be using connected to the internet, it's out there for all to see. Your voice can be heard. What you say carries a lot of weight. So we need to be very careful with what we say. We need to be careful to weigh what we've said with the Word of God. To pass everything that goes through our mind to the Word of God before we speak it. It's why as preachers prepare for sermons, as they prepare to counsel someone, as you would prepare to counsel someone, or maybe you have the opportunity to preach or to teach, you ought to take everything that you're going to say, everything that you are bringing out of the Word of God back before Him, so that everything you say is then brought back through the pages of the Word of God. Yes, you're speaking the Word of God, but you need to bring it back to Him. Say, Lord, guide me as I speak. But even the most simple phrases that you speak, they can be used harshly, but they could also be used to praise. Our words carry a lot of weight. So as we move down through this passage, we first saw our example. We saw that we need to all be examples, not just the young people, not just the elderly, not just those that are middle-aged. It's not just one category of people that need to be an example. It's all ages, all categories can be an example. But as we move down through verse 12 and come on into verse 13, it says, "Till I come," speaking of Paul here when he's talking to Timothy, "till I come, give attendance to reading." We could also liken that even to the Lord. As the Lord is going to return till He comes, we need to give attendance. You remember when you were in school, some of you might be a little farther back than others. Do you remember sitting in class the first of the day, or maybe you had various classes you go to, there was always attendance taken. Whether the teacher sat there at the desk and just kind of looked out and checked off, various teachers had different methods. Some would say, Jeffrey would say, present, and then Tim, present, Mike, present, Sheila, present. And you'd go through the roll call, giving attendance. That means those people were in attendance. They were there. Now, you were there bodily, and I don't know about many of you, but there were certain classes that I wouldn't learn a whole lot through because I'd get fairly bored in them. I was there in presence, but my attendance certainly wasn't there in mind because I was bored. Some teachers just didn't keep my attention going through high school, and I think global geography was one of them. That was terrible. I did not like global geography. It was required, but I don't think I remembered half the things that the teacher said. I just made sure I studied my textbook when it came time for tests. Don't do that. Listen to your teachers. But you know, we can give attendance by being there, but when it's talking about giving attendance, it's not just saying, be in church. Not just be there and listen to the pastor read it. But what it's saying here is when it says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. When it says that, it means to be there bodily, but there spiritually and mentally. As we go through the pages of the Word of God, we ought to be taking every bit of it to heart. We ought to be giving attendance or giving our full attention to the Lord, actively engaged in our worship, actively engaged in our study. Our focus ought to be brought into the Lord. If anything right now is on your mind other than the Lord, you're not giving attendance. You're not giving your full attention. You're not being actively engaged in the service. You're not being actively engaged in getting to know your Lord. So as Paul looks at Timothy here, after he's gotten finished telling him to be an example, even in your youth, he's now saying, be educated. Be active. He's saying, read the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. You know, without a knowledge of what is said in the Word of God, without a knowledge of the commandments, without a knowledge of the promises of God, how are you ever going to live in fullness of joy? How are you ever going to live basking in all of the bounty that we have as Christians? If you don't know what the Word of God says, how are you ever going to follow it? That's going to come down to doing your personal devotions, being there when the church doors are open to get into the Word of God, to have fellowship with each other. To be in the Word of God in whatever form we may have that in our service, whether it's the preaching, whether it's the singing, whether it's Sunday school classes, fellowship one with another, sharing something maybe God has put on your heart with your fellow believer. Maybe something that God has touched your heart with in your devotions through the week, you can pass that on to someone else. If you're truly giving attendance to the Word of God, those things are going to stick with you. Those things are going to change your life. And what Paul is saying to Timothy here is, pay attention to what the Word of God is saying. Pay attention to every last detail. Don't take things out of context. Often we can take one verse, isolate it, create a whole doctrine out of something that isn't really there. We need to be careful to take things in their proper context, so that as we study the Word of God, as we pay attention, we're getting exactly what God is saying. So, be actively engaged in reading the Word of God. But also, be actively engaged in exhortation. Don't just read it, but use it. Use what God has given you and worked in your life with to benefit others. You know, as believers, we're not just to be taking it all in. It's good to take it all in. It's good to be sitting there in the service. It's good to be sitting there at the table in the morning or at your desk or there on your bed with your Bible reading the Word of God. It's what God desires for you to be taking it in, giving that attendance. But he's now saying, exhort. Exhort those that are around you. We're to build up our fellow believers. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Remember how we talked about our words 2 weeks ago? We ought to be sharpening our friends with our words. If your friend is a knife and he is dull, you ought to be that stone for which he can come to and be sharpened by. You ought not to be a friend that's giving him that dull edge. We shouldn't be dulling the edge of our friends' lives, of our family's lives, where we become something blunt for them to just beat off of, taking that edge away, causing chips in that blade. We need to sharpen one another. A dull knife really isn't good for very much. If I have a knife that's dull, usually I'll set it aside until I can sharpen it. Are we causing our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in what we do and what we say to be dulled? Are their spiritual lives being lessened, taking away that sharp edge that should be there by the way we're acting? Our lives can have a profound effect. This is why I said verse 12 is really a springboard for the following passage, because those precepts were laid out there so basically and plainly in verse 12. Continue on down through, because as we see this reading and this exhortation, we see that those things are just issuing out of being an example. Our exhortation to others is going to be brought about by being an example ourselves. But then next, in our giving attendance, we also ought to give attendance to doctrine. The word doctrine means that which is taught. Know that which is taught in Scripture. We can look throughout Scripture, we can find many doctrines that we look at, we'll put together theology books and say, these are the great doctrines of Scripture. Do you know those things? Do you know what God has to say about the end times? Remember how we were singing our hymns? They all seem to come together with that hope where we're looking forward to that one day when Christ will return, take us home to be with himself. Do you know the promises that God has laid out in his word? Do you know what he said about that time? Do you know how we ought to live in light of those passages? How that ought to transfer through our lives in being evangelistic in our outlook. As we go out into our communities, a proper view of eschatology will cause us to be evangelistic. To reach out to more and more, because we don't know the hour at which Christ may come. And we have in our lives, we have in our hands with the Word of God, a powerful tool. We have the Word of God that is going to change others' lives. And if we have a proper view of God's Word, if we're getting to know the doctrines that are found within the Word of God, it's going to strengthen not only our lives, but it's also going to cause us to reach out, to strengthen others, to bring others to Christ. Are you giving attendance to doctrine? Are you digging in the Word? Don't be satisfied with just skimming through the Word of God. Give attention to it in every passage. Don't just come to portions of the Old Testament that are listing maybe genealogies. Do you know in some of these genealogies we find different passages speaking of godly men who have given us an example in the past I'm thinking of various passages, even in the book of Leviticus, where we can look at the example of other men that have gone on before us and women that have had godly testimonies. If we're just thinking, well, it's a boring passage, I'm just reading a bunch of names, we skip a couple of chapters, we're missing golden nuggets of strength and truth from God's Word. Are you giving attendance to it all? Giving attention, our full attention, to wording, to the words that are found in Scripture, to reading, to exhortation, and to the doctrine that is found therein. Then we move on, and we see that it says in verse 14, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. When it says in verse 15 that thy profiting may appear to all, it shows us that others are watching. As you come to church on a Sunday, as you're out in your daily walk, others see us. Others see what we're doing. Are they seeing one who is living the pages of the Word of God? Are they seeing one who is truly following what has been preached to us on any given Sunday? What God has laid on your heart in your devotions throughout the week? God seeks to work in our lives, and He seeks for us to be reflective. He seeks that we might reflect upon what God has taught us in His Word. It says, meditate on these things. To meditate isn't just to have something pass through your mind quickly. It's to actually give much time to thinking on something, mulling it over in your mind. Maybe it means reading a passage in the morning. You didn't necessarily get a whole lot from it. Pick it up later on in the day. Pick it up and read it. God has brought you to that portion of Scripture to teach you something through it. It may be that you need to set it aside. Think about what you've read. Come back to it again, and God may burst that passage wide open in your mind and bring about some blessings that you never would have thought of that morning. Give you some guidance that you never would have thought of that morning when you'd first picked it up. Meditate therein. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." This sermon, or these two sermons, I entitled, "But Continue Thou." Because we ought to be continuing in the things that we have learned from the Word of God. Our walk of life is going to show our continuance, whether we are continuing in the Word of God or whether we're not. Because if you're not continuing in the Word of God, you're continuing on in the world. You're continuing on in worldliness and sin. As I thought more about this passage here, speaking about continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, I was thinking of a song that I've heard in the past. And it draws my mind to, this passage draws our minds to, those things which we read. It causes us to be reflective. Many things that we know are always dependent upon a source. Well, everything we know is dependent upon a source. And the source that is being spoken of here, when it says, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned," this Bible, this book that you have in your lap, whether you leave it on a shelf and it gets dusty throughout the week, or you pick it up throughout the week, learning from it, what God is saying to us here, what Paul is exhorting here, is when he says, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned," he's primarily speaking the things that you've learned from the Word of God. Continue in them. So I see here that in being reflective, but knowing what we have learned, there are a couple of different sources. We find a primary source, and we see a secondary source. The secondary source is what I want to see here first, because I believe that as Paul is going down through the passage here in 2 Timothy 3, and he says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. First of all, Timothy's mind is going to be brought to the Lord. He's going to immediately recognize these things ultimately came from the Lord. That's the primary source of what we have learned about him, is God himself. But the secondary sources that we have in our lives are going to be our parents. They're going to be our grandparents. They're going to be faithful men and women within our churches, faithful men and women within our Christian women within our lives. These are going to be our secondary sources. And I say secondary because they themselves has received all of these things from the primary, from the Lord himself, and they're passing it on down through. Turn back one page to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and the things which thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The principle that is laid out there in that passage, in the book of Timothy, yes, these are exhortations to a pastor, to a young pastor in the ministry. Continue in these things. Exhort other men. Teach other young men to know the Word of God. Those things that you've learned of me, pass them on. What he's saying to Timothy is don't be a wire that is just snipped off, that the power is coming in and it's just deadened there. It's just coming to an end. Be a wire that is spliced into another life. Be a conduit, as it were. Anybody know what a conduit is? I need to know, so it might mean that I have to give a definition. I know some are saying yes, but some may not. Conduit is something that in the electrical world, you would fish some wires through to protect them from getting damaged, to protect them. We got some in the gym. The conduit takes the power from our room that's right down there. All the electrical wires come in there, and it comes down to some breaker panels to various things. I'm not an electrician, so if you know more about being an electrician than I do, I apologize if I get something wrong. But I have a base knowledge of it. I know the power comes in there. And then I see some lines going through the gym. There's this big box that kind of sticks out in this big round tube. Now it's a large conduit. It goes out up the wall across behind the basketball net and out into another set of breaker panels, which then goes into the school. Now those wires didn't end in that room. If those wires just came into the church and ended down in that room down there, we wouldn't have the lights you see up here. We wouldn't have the power in the school. We wouldn't have outlets there to plug things in. We wouldn't be able to run anything in the offices. The papers that I printed my sermon off, they wouldn't be here. That power then goes to a useful thing. That conduit is there to take it and make that power useful. Now, God's power comes into our lives through the conduit of the Word of God, and it's brought there for us to take in, to benefit from, but then to use. And if we apply that illustration to 2 Timothy 2:2, where it's telling us to commit those things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, it's saying the power's come into your life. Then as that wire's continued on, you've used it for purposes, splice something else into that. There are many times where things are on a circuit and you've got many things running off of one circuit. Many things are being done. Many rooms are being heated by one circuit. One source of power. Many things are being done through it. And our church is the very same way. We have one source of power. We have one source of strength. We have one source, and that is God himself, who has given us his word, who has taught us. And as this comes into our lives, it is a conduit bringing it into us. And we should be, you can be a wire that's spliced into someone else. Maybe you have great influence, and you can be likened to a breaker panel, where you have many things, many realms of influence, where this power can be brought out into many different areas. I would say we probably look to our pastor and say he would be like a breaker panel, because there's a lot of power coming in. He is responsible for the spiritual well-being of our church to guide us and to teach us from the Word of God. And as he teaches us as a congregation, it's going into multiple lives at once. And that the conduit of the Word of God continues. And you take that power and it goes into your own home. Your influence then is brought into multiple lives within your home. Years later, your home continues to expand. And the next generation is there. That conduit splits again. And it goes into many more places, many more rooms, many more things are done. What Paul is telling Timothy here is, don't let that wire end with you.
We've got a wire here.
Now, this is only one piece of a wire. Usually, in a wire going in through your walls, you get a black and you've got a red, or a black and a white, and a ground wire. The black is usually the constant with your power. Now, a wire hooked up to the source, coming out, that's not going to do anything. It's not hooked up to anything. So the power is coming into this wire. This is your life. Your life is this wire. You've got the power of the Word of God coming into you, but so far you've done nothing with it. You need to take the end of that wire. You need to clean the end of it off. Twist this thing around a little bit. Pull it off. That didn't work for me. But then when the ends of that wire are bare, it's now got power going through it. Whether you're going into an outlet, or whether you're going into a heater, whatever it may be with the physical power, with your life, you ought to be then taking a marette, twisting that on there, teaching someone else, teaching others, and now they have that power going to them. And that's twisted on there. Now, it wouldn't be circular like this. It would be going on in through your walls. Now you have power going to someone else. The Word of God that's come into your life is now being passed on to someone else. It's not then to end with you. Children who are still living in your homes, your parents are like that wire. When you were born, this marat, it was taken from the end of that wire, and it was spun on there. They started to teach you some things. They started to be that source of teaching in your life. You know, maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home. Maybe you grew up in an unsaved home, but you were the first one in your family, even as a child, to come to know the Lord. Someone else was living this passage. Someone else took the responsibility. They took that responsibility to take the Word of God and to teach others also, and they took it seriously and taught you. You came to know the Lord, and then that marat was put on there. You now have the power of God coming and flowing through your life. Now, I know that illustration is limited, because eventually, some of these young men may become pastors themselves. Some of these young ladies may become school teachers themselves, young men as well. You may become those ones that are leading. You may be that breaker panel. And there are going to be many people relying on you to get some spiritual sustenance on any given Sunday. Maybe you're teaching a Bible class or teaching anything in school. Maybe you're having an influence as a peer. Maybe you have a prominent position in your youth group because you have a boisterous personality and a lot of people look up to you. If you have that type of personality and God is using you, people look up to you, you can be a breaker panel in of yourself. A lot of people can be gleaning things from your life. Are you taking the responsibility to heart? Are we being reflective upon our own lives so that as we look and we see what God has taught us, what He's worked in our own hearts to give us, we're giving others also. Be reflective. Look back upon what God has done. And use those things to minister to others. But we don't want to always look back. We always want to look forward. Because as we look back at what God has done, we always want to look forward to what He's going to continue to do. And what He can do because of what He has done. We don't want to spend our lives looking back at what God has done in the past, because then we'll become stagnant in our Christian lives. That faith that was passed down to Timothy from Lois and Eunice, Paul is saying, continue in that faith. If you were to read earlier on in this, in 2 Timothy, you will see that Paul is telling him, remember the things that I've taught you. It's even in that same very chapter. I recommend that you go back and read the entire books of 1 and 2 Timothy. These things that he's exhorting him to do. He's saying, I taught you these things. Continue in those. We may have many sources coming into us of spiritual strength. But it all comes from the primary. The secondary are important. We can be a source of secondary strength. But never forget the importance of the primary. Because you, as a secondary source, when you become disconnected from the primary, the Word of God, then your life is made dead, as it were, if you're looking at the illustration of electricity. You stop the flow of spiritual strength. You stop the flow. Things start to shut down. Others who were looking to you for spiritual strength, looking to learn from you, no longer have that power coming through you. They've got to find another place. Hopefully, they'll go straight to the primary. Hopefully, they go straight to the Word of God. Timothy looked back at where he had learned from Lois and Eunice, the Apostle Paul. But he looked primarily to the Lord. Do you see the big picture here? When we saw the teenagers singing a choir piece, giving their testimonies, doing the announcements, helping in the nursery, when we saw them taking up the offering, when we saw them playing the instruments in the prelude, greeting people at the door when they came in, doing the work of the ministry, they're getting all of this from that primary source, the Word of God. It may be coming through a secondary source, through the parents, through faithful men and women in the church, faithful family members outside of our own local congregation, but they're receiving it from somewhere. We always can look back to a source of strength. Always look back to the source of knowledge. And that's always going to be our Lord. So as we look upon where we have been, as we give attendance to the Word of God, as we are reflective, as we seek to be examples ourselves, how do we match up to the Word of God? How do we look in light of Scripture? All of these things that were found in the Word of God, all of the things that we've looked at in these passages in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, go to build God's church. They go to build godly, strengthened families that are going on in His name. We are His church. And we ought to be going on in His strength and in His power. Because that's the only strength. That's the only power that we have. And when those things disappear, there is no power. There is no strength. We would be no different than the world. So let's press forward together, remembering our responsibility toward God, but also our responsibility to each other, to build each other up in the faith, and to exhort each other with the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord.